comes on at 9 o'clock, right? And they've never heard the first minute because they compulsively have to wait until 1 after 9. And then they always go through the big bit about, I missed them from the beginning after 9.
Well, they want to be prepared. They have to look up in their moon sign book whether or not it's a good day for them to listen to the radio.
Hey, full moon today. Did you know that? Full moon in Cancer. And that's where my moon is, and that's why all the hugger mugger that's gone down today doesn't bug me at all.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't, man. I've been so cool and sweet and fine and doped. No, by the moon. I mean, it's just kept me so straight. One thing that did happen, which was a little bit unfortunate, I think, is that we were going to premiere Waiting for the Electrician or someone like him for you tonight, which is the Fire Sign Theater's new album. But we can't because their promotion man, Gomer Pyle, was away for the weekend, and we couldn't get in touch with him and couldn't get the okay, but you'll be hearing it on a future Oz show. So to start you off, baby, let's make it a magical mystery tour tonight and give you just a little bit of where it's always been and will be tomorrow.
Well, there ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die. drop the bomb. They drop it on the BS car.
And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next up is Vietnam. Throughout the land, pack your boys up to Vietnam. Come on, folks, don't hesitate. Send them off before it's too late. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Pack us off to Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, ain't no time to wonder why.
And on that pleasant note, we welcome the full moon to Los Angeles. In fact, we welcome the full moon to just about everywhere. How far is it a full moon, by the way? How far does the full moon stretch? I mean, it's a full moon in San Francisco,
well,
isn't
I'm
it?
Well, I'm awfully glad you asked me that question.
Yes, so am I. So am I. Swami back to Methuselah is with us again tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that the full moon stretches halfway around the world tonight.
Well, actually, it makes a sickle-shaped pattern, Peter.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah, a hammer and sickle-shaped pattern in parts
well,
of Eastern Europe.
Well, you have politics and I have mine, sir. I can't get into a discussion like that.
Well, we wouldn't ask you to do that, Swami. Swami will be back.
It's a full moon wherever it's night, sir.
Wherever there are lovers. That's Swami Bhakta Methuselah's new book on Hindu love astrology, which will not be published again in 1968. This program of Radio Free Oz will bring you many, many special treats. The Fire Sign Theater will be coming up later on
this
evening.
That's a surprise.
Isn't that a surprise?
It
yeah,
is.
Everybody right.
With wouldn't know it reading the papers.
No, you wouldn't, right. Pick up Open City, it's not there, and neither is Open City, but that's okay. And they're going to be doing a very special piece for you this evening, so we want you to get yourself all ready by 10 o'clock to dig it. I understand from many of the people I've talked to that they prepare themselves specially for the Fire Sign Theater program by taking 15 minutes of deep yoga breathing before the program begins. Therefore, we lose about 30% of our audience, and the other 70% think that we're all girls. But that's yoga. In fact, we'd like to warn a lot of you there, a la the Swami Bhaktivedanta warning that came over the air last Sunday. What was the Swami's words? He said, "You cannot be true jogan by just breath. Breathing does not get you there. It is important more that you do not commit adultery of the tongue." You know?
That's
He's right.
He
it's beautiful. Adultery of the tongue. He said, if you know, where you've got to start with is with the mundane. You've got to start with your everyday actions. And think a stone, make a stone. If you're thinking adultery, whatever that may mean, better you should be saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or something like it. There are all types of mantras. They don't have to be in Hindu, and they don't have to be in Japanese or Chinese. They can be in good, plain, and you know, good, plain American language. But it helps a lot. I know that when you get really bummed out, I have two suggestions for those of you who are in the righteous indignation trip right now. One of them is to pick up a picture of Meyer Baba. Now, the Baba trip gets very, very strong for a lot of people. For me, it just got to the point where I got a picture of him. He looks like an enlightened Jerry Colonna. And what you do is you... And I just have him on the dashboard of my car, and every time I begin to go through one of those "they can't do that to me" trips, you know, those are the worst too, baby. What does a Zen man say? He who can be insulted can be broken. They can't do that to me, not to number one. You take a look down at Meyer Baba there, and he's smiling, and under it it says, "Don't worry, be happy." And suddenly this beautiful sort of feeling comes through you.
I've got to get one of those, because I really think that they arrange every slowdown in traffic specifically to annoy me.
Well, they do. That's the fact. That's the amazing fact, is they really do. Every slowdown in traffic, every woman who's driving 20 miles an hour and cleaning her nails at the same time.
He's always driving in front of you.
Always driving in front of you, yes, your little karmic test. We drove, when we were driving out to KRLA today, just tonight, out the Pasadena Freeway, we drove past a 1967 white Ford station wagon in which were two passengers, a woman and a dog dressed in identical clothes. That's true. Yeah, woman was in the front seat wearing a cheap white and black leopard skin coat, and her dog was in the back seat wearing a cheap white and black leopard skin coat. It was a leopard actually wearing a human skin coat. It looked very beautiful. But do you know what she had on her head? That was the amazing thing. We could see it very, 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 very softly in the beautiful amber lights of the police car that had stopped the spade going the other way. Watch out on the Pasadena freeway. We'll let Dylan tell you all about it. David, do you know what day it is today? I'll tell you.
No, you will. I'm glad you did.
Today is the first anniversary of the Bee-In in San Francisco. The great Bee-In in San Francisco, which is responsible, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like a moment of awed silence. The first anniversary of the gathering of the tribes responsible for the terribly complicated mess that we're in today. It was the first time that people really sort of gathered together on the sward up there in San Francisco. And
Got stoned.
And since then, the whole country has been following suit. Since then, we had the great Easter love-in in Los Angeles, and various green and black and blue and yellow power love-ins all over the city and all over the country. They've been having love-ins in Miami, where they surely need them, and in New York City, where they get busted for doing it, and in Dayton and Lawrenceville, Kansas, and Oshkosh and Billings and all sorts of places like that. And I think probably that, well, for a while, I remember. Remember back in, like, March and April and May when we thought, it's all going Indian, you know? It's going to happen. Everybody's going to wear beads and run out and form communities.
Why, look at those people. They look just like Indians.
In fact, they are Indians. And then the other ones were the hippies. And you couldn't tell one from the other for a while. And then suddenly the interest began to percolate until only there was only that, you know, that 5% of the vanguard that were left. And they're still around, and they're still very, very deeply interested in the American Indian way of life, which is, you know, a way of life not terribly different from the way many people live very well and very closely to this, to the thing called nature. We're going to be getting into a nature thing very quickly, at least I think we are, because we're going to have a man on the show whose work, with which I'm fairly familiar, evokes in me some of the most powerful kind of natural images that I've, you know, I've ever had evoked. Or evoked, or whatever the word may be, the East Village evoke. And we'll be getting to him in just a second. I just wanted to mention that it was the first year celebration. What's all that clatter going on?
We're doing this evening's program, ladies and gentlemen, from the Sabon Thrifty Mart drugstore at the corner. We'll have all the new cars come driving in just a moment.
Hey, you in the Mustang there. You in the blue Mustang. This would be a guy, I told you once about a guy named Lord Fauntleroy Bandy, who'd sit down there in Washington, D.C., and it's okay, just put the little ones in the right rack there, and the ones that give you cancer, put below the lights. That'll be fine. The guy used to sit there and just talk about all the cars that went past his plate glass window. Well, we're not going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to be talking about many, many more subtile things. We'll be doing that in just a minute.
One of those benefits of this particular week, I suppose, is that you hear from old friends. So far, two people from high school that I had not now and never will ever hear of again, probably, called me.
What did they call you, Dave?
Well, they called me up.
Good. It's good to be up in this week.
Early.
Yeah. It's been a strange Capricorn downer.
Yeah. And just understand that another old friend is back from Europe, and a very old friend whom I hadn't seen for about 5 years and then saw last April, in the middle of Ohio, suddenly arrived in San Francisco, and that's Robert Kelly, who is a poet of great stature, both in terms of his own size, the size of his output, and the quality of it, who has never been out to California before, always in the eastern and midwestern parts of the United States. And it seemed to me a rare treat to get Robert down to Los Angeles from San Francisco, if only for a reading here in the Thrifty Mart drugstore tonight. And so here he is. Robert has written, how many books?
15?
15? What, something like that. One of which is a novel called The Scorpions, which one can actually go on.
He's the author of The Scorpions.
Yeah.
That is a very weird novel. It's very weird. See, I didn't make the connection.
Right. Yeah. Well, there are more and more poets these days who are writing novels.
Everyone seems to write one.
I'm writing scripts.
Right. Look, cheap drug humor, but it's all right.
Okay. I'll get to my novel once the Firesign Theater has its day.
So yeah, when you're 48 or...
David, do your poems come over the radio?
I've limited myself to one at a time, spaced widely several weeks apart, so it doesn't seem like I'm really trying to...
You've never read the whole Crescent Journals, or anything?
No, not... Not so as you'd notice over KRLA, no.
With three mics, you don't spread yourself. I wish you would.
Well, yes. Well, not tonight, folks. No, I have read, like, one at a time, that kind of thing. We did read some of Bob's work in the Alchemical show.
Right.
That we did about, 6 or 8 weeks ago. That marvelous little section about what a Martian astrologer would make of Earth.
Oh,
yeah, you're remembering that.
I'm terrible, man. All I do is appreciate work, and I never remember who does it. And I think it's better
exactly
this way.
Exactly right.
I don't, all I remember, oh, it's a marvelous thing. Do we have EO with us? Do you have a cop? Do you have that
No,
thing?
I don't have it.
Oh, well, all right. We'll just replay it sometime. It's a gem, an absolute gem. It's what? It's Earth is seen through the eyes of what? A Martian astrologer?
A Martian astrologer.
Right, yeah, with all the names of those great figuring out of the names of the gods of Earth and all of those things.
The substance of it is that Earth is the planet of work. The one thing that our astrology does not give us about any other planet.
Yeah, right.
We have love and force and energy, violence, libido, spookiness, but no work anywhere in the solar system but here. Clearly, it has to be here.
Yeah. The planet, what do they call it? Some people call it right here in our own
astrology. Planet is something
terrible
endeavor.
Toil or, yeah, to, painful endeavor.
Painful
the planet
endeavor.
Of painful endeavor. And isn't it?
It has it, been.
It's not work. Our whole life is controlled by work. Our guilt system is controlled by whether you're working, whether you're making your bread or you're not, or whether, how many times have you broken down and said, what I'm doing is not honest, and that's all just a work trip. I really think so.
Robert, you have a very long poem, several hundred pages, I believe. I don't know how you can be so prolific. This is what defeats me. About twice a year, I get a book which is four times the size of any of everything I've ever written, all put together. And this is, you know, March, April, 1954. It's just come out.
Yeah.
Got it mimeographed up, and there it is, 6,000 pages deep. In any case, there's a new long poem about America, none of which I've heard. So that, I think, is what you're going to read from today.
I feel embarrassed with that introduction, since I haven't been working on this poem for the past months. But it started in the fall of 65 and is as long as it is, mostly for the work of 65 and 66, some little, and last year. It's called The Common Shore, a phrase that to the Elizabethans meant sewer, as you know, and Rome was never any greater than its cloaca maxima. In fact, the sewer was there before the city was. You know, they knew what they had coming. And we've always been deficient. How are your sewerage problems here?
Now, whenever it rains, they overflow.
They overflow, yeah. Well, that's bad, a bad thought. I mean, we have concentrated everything on getting everything into the house and no way of getting the other stuff out of the house. The poem speaks of the common shore as to begin with sewer, but finally hopes to arrive at a notion of what those words, taken metaphorically, might mean in a society used to language. I mean, even the intentional language of the yogi. And ever since I got off the plane in Los Angeles, people have been talking about yogis. Everybody has been speaking either about them or imitating them in high, funny voices of yogic persuasion. But the yogis, the tantrics at any rate, have that beautiful, what is it, sandhabhyasa, the intentional language, the twilight talk, in which a man says one thing, meaning indeed that thing, but also meaning something else as well. In that sense, the common shore proposes both the past, sewer, and also the shore of our one day common life that we might hope to arrive at. Do you want me to read some of that?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
I'll take only the first 200 pages out of them.
Oh, good, fine. We have a time problem. I'd like to mention once again in the midst of this, perhaps, that the show is coming to you tonight over KRLA 1110 in Pasadena, and we are actually, this is KRLA, by the way, we are in Pasadena tonight. We're not at the Magic Mushroom. It was closed unexpectedly for emergency remodeling, sure, and here we are.
Sure, baby.
Sure, union remodeling, and here we are in the lobby of KRLA, and it's very crowded, so if you come out, you'll probably find no place to sit. It's in Pasadena.
Eating everywhere and everything, but the dropped apples lie on the road. She sang as we drove past. Apple, 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 apple. Smell of the profligate fruit coming up from under the crushing wheels. Only there the visible stars. Beyond Elmendorf's inn on the open field, thanked God for this place, whereof the history is written in occupants of the respective pastorates, and the persistent estate of the late Colonel Livingston, I.B.M. I'll read only sections from this long poem. You spoke of natural imagery. Most of my earlier work is very heavily involved with that, and this less so, because here I've gotten to that persuasion that what poetry needs do is not, as it's tried to do for the past 200 years, tell us how to feel about things, but rather tell us where things are to be felt.
Like maps. Up, yeah,
yeah. You know, I asked you about that before. Things can be felt up on the radio show. Where are they? Like maps. I think it's not for nothing that Olson's great book, The Maximus Poems, has a map on its cover, that Dorn's latest book has a map of the North Atlantic on it. In one case, an authentic chart, in the other case, a decorative map. That means something, too. But the proposal of language always is to locate events in the time of the speaker. And the poem is language. It has no other material but that. Sometimes the poem gets specific in a way that arrests any lyrical. With honor to John Wilkins, essay towards a real character and a philosophical language. The roads are qualities, divide themselves and head other directions. George used to tell me the tallest thing in Great Falls, Montana, itself the largest city in six states, was the colossal talking statue of Smokey the Bear. The original Annandale, woolen mill, no trace of it. Across the fork, brick chimney of the chocolate factory, up out of tempering Schumach. Zabriskie's pines, later. Miramonte burned 2 days. Put out your fires, white man. God bless America, land that I need it to be, as it is always and never, ever succeeds to be. O turmeric leaves of the maple, where, even in Raisin Street, in the mouths of men, liberty, the rights of man. Founded on the frozen river, the poor Groenlanders had never had it so bad, and there was, at the foot of their letter, which maybe was the foot of a Bayonne pier, nothing to eat at all. That there should be a periplus chart of us all, A.D. 1440, that there should be a coast at all. The rights of man will be our coastline, the rights of man. Among the rocks were several caves formed by nature, day after day hoping some vessel might touch at the island. But theirs was the ship, and this the island, against all likelihood was an island, Owen Chase of another island. What happens after a boat? When Ummon says it before Ferionic, the ship died. After a boat and the well-starred and congruous voyage lay all winter beside an island filled with their mysteriously provisioned enemies. They knew the north coast of Staten Island, the cliffs of Brooklyn, frozen marshes of Elizabeth, the glance of Manhattan out in the bay, whereby the congruity of finite history there, collateral descendants live to this day, and this was a discovery of America. Later East India, later Hanoi. Chase again, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Page rustling.
It's like tuning.
Yeah, right. It's like the middle of the folk singer's act, right, when he's got to tune up the guitar. It's beautiful.
There was the noise. There it is. That's it. That was the contrabassoon ready. All of these poems have been from the first book of the Long America poem. The first book is called The State of Siege. Riddled with false conquests, the aging virgin spreads her forests around her, decks new highways over her stone breasts. Amer, she is bitter. Merik, she does not say merci. Rika, a rich lady, and she does not put out. Am, but ignorantly and rightly asserts her existence. Mare, to be all of our mothers and her own old mother and a sea. Mary, she is not, but wholly after her fashion. Airy, and the silk of her flags is spun from the love-conscious fingers of people with too little to eat, too little to think about, but aimé, love, all over the place, as if love made up for all, even if it does. America. Oh, seized never again by your own people, oh, Fanny Kelly, never again by Indians who is not my ancestor. Mild October night, oh, thermal inversion, simple breeze that touches me now. Hidden, great-tailed comet hurtling with one more indecipherable message. Oh, hidden, beautiful thighs of Judith Erickson, who has no ancestor, discovered America.
That's marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. Oh. Read on.
In New York, there's a street called Raisin Street, which had originally meant to be Raison, Reason Street, and they gave it to the keeping of the Irish sign painter, and it's Raisin Street still. This tries to get back to the original street. The rights of man, all that that ancient and corny phrase means, was the purpose of so many of these early sections. Reason Street, time ends our rights. Before, we think we know what it means. After, we think we know what it means. Now, we think we know what it means. Smith rode up to Harper's Ferry. 8 years later, gave himself up for murder in Piquet. Of a woman, died a result of a fall. He said he made the fall, in whose hands not one of Helen her sparrows nestles to start song, whose shadow follows, oh my friend. Or was it 10 years? He got me drunk and let the fire die. I went outside and tore a baby 10-foot birch tree from his ground and broke it on my knee, stuffed it in the hearth. Time still sub judice. He did not kill her. If he would open his hands again, the birds... I give a secret away if I say that this is for the Spanish part of the audience. This round of earth I need you all and seldom fall, where the lean November sun heats the city, fails and eats the colors. This round of all come back again. Now I was here from all beginning, stood at the foot of Daimon's chair and watched his hands spread what flowed from them and held its peace in his. There is no history, the passage of a thing immemorial. An apple ripens. Past that, they say in Spanish, it goes to sleep.
Why don't we, while you find the next segment, spin a record?
Little Walrus.
A Little Walrus?
A Little Walrus.
Oh, well.
Robert's own request.
All right.
I'm crying.
Still on part one.
Still on. The section I'll read now is the longest of these sections that I'll do. This is the furthest west I've ever been. Or really, I guess the furthest west that any of my family have been, except the man mentioned here, my great-grandfather, who came to New York from England in the 1840s, fought in the Civil War, and then, alchemist that he was, disappeared and went to India to hunt for gold or to make it or whatever one goes to India for and was never heard of again about 103 years ago. And the nature of his coming to America and leaving it again has always struck me as emblematic of the family's tangential condition here, as all of our families, all of our conditions here. A great warm beast of the horizon, humped like a man and bleeding tender blood. We came here where nothing was. It was the opening into this from another world. When we got through the door, we went separate ways, only to meet at the end of civic time before the empty altar of the center, place of emergence. Each of us carried his emblem, and the names we call them by are not their names. We came here lured by the curves or woman-like deep of the horizons, cloud shapes instant with covenant, our blood lured successively level after level into life, into tribe, into nation, into... Lived in peace in the country 13 years and signed no papers for my own aggrandizement, but in the hour of this country's distress forsook all allegiance to my own to follow her fortunes to the war. August 27, 1861. The tender blood rises and falls, makes flesh full, cities fall, spews me out a century later, looking at the same sky, wanting the nobility of the promise, or a capacity to cope with it, myself alone. Eagle, crow, lizard, snake, tortoise, skunk, tobacco. The shriveled pouch they give us, all the herbs of the tribe, flowering grasses of our names, whereby life would be an honor, and that pursuit of the distances a trust to the United States or the people of these United States. If I fall, take care of my wife, Jane Norris, 379 First Street, Williamsburg, and my child at the same house, aged 1 year and 11 months. Those cold streets to which he would only in some sense come back to leave, west after west away, to an opening we could all believe in ever again. Uttermost west. It was his business. He came here and lived in peace, knowing something else all the time, knowing our hearts are torn with partings, he wrote to Jane. He followed the lines of cleavage in his heart, as we all do, year after year, nation after nation, finding a west away. I go in Colonel Badan's regiment, 1st New York Sharpshooters, Lieutenant Hastings Company, number 2 in said company. I'd like to get out of that America poem series and read a very recent poem. I am to remind myself that Gertrude Stein says that writing wants to go on, but the real, and that's really to speak to what David said before, why I am prolific, or why anyone is prolific, is that the words want to go on, they want to write, and they write through us, they speak their meanings through us in proportion to our instrumentality to them. I mean, how much we're doing to allow them to pass through. Living in the country, I think more words can flow through you than living in the city and all of that, just in terms of how you are an instrument. But the words do it, and the words want to go on. And this is a poem from the beginning of December. It has no title. It has only its own intention to pursue. Apart from all directions was the turn. Will he be perfect as all others are when seen as others? Lemon pickled on lamb, peas, keema, and flatbread, and. Perfect as he ought as any dinner is beyond. The cobweb lies intelligent design. Dragoman of sun rays. Apart from all directions is the dimension of disbelief that lays hard questions against our tender food. Beyond the corridor lie intransigent rooms, multiple half-rhyme of our dreary, emancipated lives. If sun don't shine, if sun don't honey shine, we don't believe what we eat and certainly chew. Did you? Did you even today swallow lumpy holes bad as it is for you? Enzyme time. The dimension of our disbelief is continent-wide. We read the many, choose the few, none do, do none read the blazed trails of sleeping pioneers. All night the mouse moves through the holes. A port for all directions will be turn and turn again. No fixed marker where the star holds ever true. True hearts are butter, ooze and flow and can be froze. A port for all departures will be here where the November scorches our hope of snow. Unheard of ice down from the Sierra points. Sawtooth saw through this today half-frame view of you. Economize on the goals, but never on the means. Means let the spider plan the house, but keep awl and saw and brace and mattock bright. Pat, pat, inconstant earth into this place. This way, all passengers to go. This way to go. All means apart, no you comes true. Star is butter melting on the Johnny cake. History, Crisco on the polished floor. Adore change for change's sake, ask no quarter. Peace starts yesterday, where are the women who swallowed my part? Where are the Sierra snows this morning, now, tonight, when 70 times one chip on the heat glass glazes and unices? Or sound lineage downtown. All means apart, where one can call it all, can you? All means hammer, sand, sickle, bad dimension of our civil sleep, where parliament is powerless, the king to chide, no love in the land can bide, can you? Rich means and long forget, a dinner at least, unnoticed. Start, or sound, primal gaga. Papa is cold and won't get up, mama, come rouse him. Lineage of words like a snowed-in road leads nowhere but here. Stuck, downtown and no buses. Downtown and the whole fold opens up and sucks the city in. Can't get home. Can't get home, Ken. You passengers will wait. Our mountain Arate arrests the cheaper forms of violence. Means. Means. I ask you means in constant moon and set no boundary on your influence. Senate undone. Old men, where are your walking stick, your gold in pocket by your pocket watch, sundial in your garden? Redeem your power from the president. Surely you have heard before. The hearth is hard. All fires merely start, or are they hardly fired? Puffed into flame with human breath or wind of passage, then suddenly go out? You wonder, it makes you wonder. Surely you have heard, and now, almost again, the same old breakfast offered. Get up, it's time to eat again. Get up. The march around the breakfast table flies off in all directions to the end. This is where it could begin. Cold milk I want on my oat flakes, warm milk on mush. This says a man who still recalls smooth surface pictures on his porringer. Food set within a rim of water, ring of hut, to keep the victuals hot until all means is star and none to choose and none refuse. Do you refuse? Do you choose at last this wholesome breakfast of forgotten food, black white men of our morning? Whose? All chide the mouse who gnaws the house. Apple bright bleeds from his bite. Black bite and not refuse, whose thought is on the poor, starving children of another room. India, China, and Africa dancing indifferently. Possum pressed to my heart lies cold. Lamb chop, celebrate unlikely breakfast. Killed to eat. No need. Downtown a city where no one knows, so no fear of grave or glory. Nothing stays long on the streets, or a sound of every morning. Or a sound of sun, I break your fast, ice storm glaze, ice stream now melting. All means apart from where to all, to see, to be, and need without not, not to refuse. Where are these snarls I thought to hear, coming to refuse or coming to refuse? Food what he chews, news what comes beyond digestion, unyielding spaces of our private lives. Whose? Redeem the mouse who certainly knows how to choose. Apple eaten in our shower stall. Who's? Chide, no mass that flourishes digestive, unices frightened calm or spreads palm branches for their feet to have trod. Who's? Bide, civil love in long disorder, one day the snow will certainly fall and cover the false texts inscribed on every statue, fill up the jots, orts, and serifs of the slushy law. A picture of pioneers forgetting to keep moving. Keep moving, all means to move. Move to means all that lack warm hands and skill. Inaugurate precedents, not presidents. Civil manifesto, obey. Who dares obey a necessary law? All law declares itself. Whose means skill? But even sermon is the serpent in our grass. How true, near one fair lady, how true, how truly beautiful the works of all your hands. But you is my desire, you, whose, beyond the spaces where we talk lie other altars, and churches lead to them, and roads and inside, corridors and what you will, whose. It starts with eating breakfast wrongly, ends with seeing stars, beyond the cobweb of various sun. Whose? And not seeing stars, the stairs you fall and knock your noggin to see stars that are not stars. This way out means that way is out, and oar sound does not shine there. Lineage limps, lips harden, chap, chip of moon is all our springtime. But all means is morrow, house and hammer, drill, will, skill, this way to go.